And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast, friends. Today we're going to talk about elderly care and a sort of a practical program as to how folks are actually doing that around the country. And we have a number of instances in which families have opened up their homes and found ways in which they can incorporate the elderly care vision into their family economics vision. And I'm pretty excited with this, this because this is a $2 trillion market, at least it will be by the year 2025. With 80 million baby boomers retiring. And the opportunities, of course, for care, I think, will explode in the next next 10 or 15 years. And I think Christians especially ought to be concerned about this. And we ought to pull together and find exciting and neat ways to make this happen. And already there's some pioneers in the effort. And we found some folks down in the Arizona area that are doing this, the Golden Valley Christian Care Program. And they've been at it for a number of years, and Steve Kemp is now joining us on the program to talk a little bit about what they've done with their Golden Valley Christian Care. Hey, Steve, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Steve, I guess you got started back in 2008, is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Is your family together with this effort? You have children that are able to help out a little bit?
My wife and I have some medical background. I'm a registered nurse.
Okay.
And my wife is a certified nurse's aide.
Okay.
And she really does quite a bit more of the work than I
yeah.
do.
Oh,
I do more
I see.
Of the management mm-hmm. and assist with the caregiving as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we give each other breaks and help each other out.
Wow. Have you always been in this line of work? As a registered nurse, or was this new for you in 2008?
Yes and no. My beginnings of nursing was as an orderly in a nursing home back in, I think it was 1979.
Okay.
I had volunteered for some work through our church mission board in a nursing home in El Dorado, Arkansas. But since then, I had gone on into nursing as a paramedic first, and then into the emergency and critical care aspects of nursing. So, yes, it was a little bit new coming back to it again.
Yeah, and this was from the get-go a family effort, I guess. This is a your own private effort to pull this facility together.
Yes, it was. Part of my reason and vision for this has to do with my daughter. We had adopted my wife's niece into our home at age 4 from the Philippines, and she didn't speak English at that time, and she was a bit behind in school, in learning the language, and so about in 2006 or so, we decided I had the vision to be at home in order to homeschool her.
Mm.
And I was looking for a business, something that I could be doing that I and my wife could be at home in order to homeschool.
Oh, okay.
And that was impetus for looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had some friends in Phoenix that were doing it, and we started investigating it and moved on from there.
Hmm. So you've been doing it now for about 5 years. You've got some real experience here. What does the facility do? How many folks do you take care of and that kind of thing?
We operate out of our home. It's the regular home
mm-hmm.
where we live. We have capacity for 5 clients that we can take in. We are regulated and licensed by the state of Arizona, the Department of Health Services,
mm-hmm.
and they've licensed us for 5 clients.
Okay. Okay. Is the licensing expensive, or is it doable?
It's doable. It's mostly paperwork.
Okay.
You know, the red tape of government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're able to take care of 5 clients. How many have you served over the years?
I would say probably 15 to 20, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And was it difficult getting started?
It's still difficult.
Mm-hmm.
it's not an easy job.
Yeah.
It requires a number of things, and maybe that's where we should start off at. Number one, I think we need to have, obviously, a love for God and a love for people.
Yeah.
Somebody with needs to have compassion and care for this kind of a work,
mm-hmm.
any kind of work that involves taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with people that had the skills, but they didn't have the personal compassion and care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious when you don't have it.
Yeah.
And then also we needed a place to do it and staff to do it. And we decided that we wanted to keep our overhead low and not run into debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to start it in our home mm-hmm. rather than, you know, having a facility type of setting, which has been advantageous for us.
Mm-hmm. What level of care do you provide?
We provide, there's three different levels of care in Arizona, personal, supervisory, personal, and directed level of care. And we've chosen to go with the directed level of care with our background and experience. We can actually get into some nursing levels of care with some of the things that we do because of my background as a nurse.
Right.
But we take care of all of their physical needs, activities of daily living, and, you know, assisting them with bathing and showering and dressing and fixing meals, laundry, cleaning, pretty much whatever they need help with and are not able to be at home alone by themselves safely anymore. It's usually the situation that brings them to our home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a 7/24 care. It seems to me that was pretty time consuming. It could wear you out. Is there any way you can get breaks? Do you have folks that can come in from time to time and give you a little bit of a break?
That's been one of the most difficult parts of this kind of a business, and
mm-hmm.
Would recommend that people give it some long and hard thought before they just jump in with both feet, because that it is 24/7. 65
mm-hmm.
on and on, mm-hmm. because it's in, and it's in your home, and you can't leave it. You can't just walk away from it like another job, because you're responsible for them, and they're not machines that you can just turn off and walk away from.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to prioritize and to be willing to continue even when it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there are days when it's extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. How many folks can you take care of reasonably, do you think, you know, as a family economy without hiring a bunch of staff? About how many can you handle, do you think?
It depends on the type of patients and what their diagnosis is. Medically is one of the biggest keys.
Mm-hmm.
The more difficult patients obviously take more work and more time, and that is a big determining factor. We have not been overwhelmed with five clients at any point, really, other than when probably our most difficult clients are the Alzheimer's patients
mm-hmm.
who are confused, at times combative, wandering, agitated, and need to be watched all the time.
Mm.
Once you get into everything.
Mm-hmm.
And can be they're not safe to be alone. They you have to have your doors alarmed and more ways to, you know, keep track of them when you're in the kitchen preparing meals and they're at the other end of the house getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So which is an area where my daughter helps out in kind of keeping an eye on things when my wife is in the other end of the house You know, preparing meals or doing laundry.
Right.
He helps with being able to take care of that, or he sometimes helps with preparing meals. And while we're been doing dishes and, you know, helping with the cleaning, while we're doing the work of taking care of the clients. And we work together in that aspect.
Hmm. It sounds like you're able to incorporate your daughter into the process a little bit. There's certain things that she can do. That's kind of neat. How old is she at this point?
She's currently 14.
Okay. Okay. How does she interact with the elderly folks? Is she making friends? Is she connect with them?
Sometimes. There are some that are more difficult, obviously, and kids tend to have a mind of their own. Mm-hmm. They don't always cooperate when you think they should.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that, you know, communicate with them, and it's more difficult when you're a child and can't understand why somebody is confused and getting into your things, and you still have to be nice to them.
Yeah, right. Right.
And that's one of the things that I think has been going on in our home, and maybe one of the reasons why God has put us in this situation is that it's a sanctifying process.
Oh, yes.
Many things are
in
life, but
yep.
something that worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Having children is a sanctifying process for us,
yes.
And it's an ongoing thing that we learn as we go. And in the process thing as well, we need to be good examples in doing what we do and pick up on and watch everything we're doing at the same time. And hopefully more of the good will rub off than the bad.
Yeah. Are you able to pray before the meals? Are you able to express something of your faith along the way?
Yes. As our name says, the name of our business is obviously a Christian business.
Yes.
And we're not ashamed to say it. We just are upfront with it. And at times we will incorporate them into our meal times. But lately we've chosen to keep our meal times separate from theirs,
mm-hmm.
Especially when they're coming and going. They don't always eat at the same time. There's some that are early morning people and some that don't get up until almost noon.
Mm.
When we have a small number of clients like this, we can individualize their care and their eating times and make it to where they're comfortable. So we flex on that, but we've tried to keep our meal times as a family and haven't always been able to incorporate them into our meals.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you look at this model that you're working with, do you see benefits to it over against the more professional, large facility that just sort of processes the hundreds through the system?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we get confirmation of that on a regular basis from other people that come into our home, such as the hospice workers or other home health agencies. The hospice also has social workers and nurses that come in and do a portion of some of the work and also, you know, help with some of the care. And they see the difference that we have in our home compared to what they get in a larger facility. Mm-hmm. And even many of the other living homes in the area, they see that it's an obvious difference. We care about our people, and we're not ashamed to let them know that, you know, we're Christians, and we talk with them about, you know, a lot of our clients are elderly and dying, and we discuss end-of-life things with them and on a regular basis, and we are open about our faith.
Mm-hmm. Steve, do you call what you're doing a ministry or a family business, or is it sort of a blend?
It's a blend, because we as Christians are ministering where we're at.
Yeah.
And it bleeds over into what we do as a business.
Is it, do the clients themselves pay, or do they have governmental help that comes in that subsidizes the work?
We have both. We started off with just the private pay. One of the mistakes that we probably made early on was our location. We thought that a rural location in between two larger or medium to smaller towns, I guess, would be a better place to draw from both towns. We found that that probably wasn't the best decision. In fact, we're in the process of putting together another home in one of the towns. We've just been told that a lot of the families that are looking for placement for their loved ones don't want to drive 20, 25 miles to the rural area to take, you know, to visit their families once they're placed in the home. And so that was one of the mistakes I think we probably made business-wise. And so we're in the process of moving that back into a bigger into the town and actually making it a larger facility then.
What's the best way to find clientele, Steve, in this business?
It depends where you're at. We've talked with other people and what works for some areas don't work where we're at. Most of our clients have come from hospital discharges where they're looking, patients that come into the hospital with, say, a stroke or confusion, changes in, or a fall, that they recognize that at this point they're no longer safe to go back home anymore, by themselves anymore, or into the home situation where the spouse either is absent, somebody preceding them in death, or the spouse is just as elderly and just as incapable as they are. Or perhaps they were the caregiver for the other one. And so you run into different situations where it's not safe or a good idea for them to be alone by themselves anymore. And that's one of the things we've kind of discovered is that a lot of families don't want to take care of their parents. Or the parents don't want to be with the children anymore, and it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
So we're finding that the majority of our clients really don't have much interaction with their families anymore.
Wow. Well, and that's unfortunately the day we live in today. A lot of disenfranchisement and distance between family members over the years. And I think, you know, as those who are Christians and those who are trying to reintegrate family relationships through homeschooling and family ministry and family businesses, we really want to restore a relationship, and it would be really nice to see relationships restored in the golden years for so many of these elderly, especially as we see 80 million baby boomers retiring in the next 15 years or so. So, Steve, I think we're about done here. We really would like to let folks know that you are in Golden Valley, Arizona. It's the Golden Valley Christian Care. And the phone number, if anybody's interested, is 928-565-3934. That's the business phone for Steve Kemp and the Golden Valley Christian Care. It's 928-565-3934. Steve Kemp, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you sharing the vision, and I just hope that this this vision continues to multiply as the years go by.
Thank you, and I appreciate the ministry that you've had.
I'm guessing there's going to be opportunities for hundreds of thousands of families to do exactly what you're doing around the United States and even in other countries as well. So we want to continue to support this idea, and God bless you and what you're doing. I certainly see you folks as a pioneer in this very, very important ministry for a family economic venture. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. If anybody wants to give us a call, just talk about things and what you're doing, just talk with them.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.